Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
The scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Genesis 18, 1 through 5, and 21, 1 through 3, found on pages 17 and 20 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles. It will also be up on the screen. Please read with me. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground.
Next slide.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Who remembers what Sarah did after she learned she was going to have a child? Yes, sir. She laughed. Or a son named Isaac, and what does Isaac mean in English? Laughter. Well, this is supposed to be a picture of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah looks way too young. But Abram, I understand that one. We'll use what we have. I can still remember it vividly today when it happened, longer than I'm willing to admit. I was a teenager, in fact. It happened in Council Bluffs, where I grew up, at Grace Presbyterian Church, and it was on Father's Day, and it was Youth Sunday as well. I had been somehow elected president of our Westminster Youth Fellowship. Anybody remember Westminster Youth Fellowship? Oh, very good. And as such, I was expected to lead worship and say a few words about something. Our Christian education director said I could choose two others in the group to say some words also, each of us to take 5 or 6 minutes. So I asked my good friend Rob to be one of those to speak. He was our pastor's youngest son and a senior with me in high school. So we divided up the service, and besides speaking those few words where the sermon would take place, Rob and I decided that we would also do the offering. I would pray and he would collect the plates and place them on the communion table. It just so happened that my father and Rob's father, the pastor of the church, were the ushers of that morning. They were the ones bringing the plates forward. And the doxology started. Everyone rose and started singing. My dad and Rob's dad came forward to get the offering plates. He got my dad's just fine, but he didn't have a firm grasp of the one that his father handed to him. And before you know it, the plate hit the floor, and bills and coins and envelopes went flying everywhere, and Rob's father said, "Oh, Rob!" And the whole congregation broke up into laughter. And then you heard the mothers in the congregation say, "Don't laugh, this is church." In which the children laughed louder. Over the years, I've often thought about that day as if I've as I have watched people in laughter in the church, what is it that makes people laugh in the presence of God? Why do people snicker at what I call holy moments? I have observed men and women at Holy Communion get the giggles as they were handled the elements and then tried to remember to where they were supposed to go next, bumping into each other, trying to figure out which way to go. In one church I served, the funeral director of the town, who was a frequent usher, always used to bring the offering plate forward, and as we were singing the doxology, and would say, so only I could hear him, repeat the last time, "Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spook." Often brides and grooms become tickled during the exchange of their vows. Or being at a funeral home for the visitation, I have seen small groups of people telling jokes and laughter together about the deceased. A colleague told me of a baptism of a small child, and when he sprinkled a good amount of water on the boy's head, the boy loudly said, "God, this water's cold!" And just about each time, I can hear my mother's voice saying, "Stop laughing, this is the church." Well, when I examine the times I have laughed in church, there seems to be a common thread. My laughter was in response to the amazing presence of God. In every incident, laughter occurred when I deeply sensed a holy moment. I didn't know how to respond emotionally, so I laughed. It was like trying to express that God's grace and presence was so wonderful and so overwhelming. I just couldn't believe it. I'm absolutely positive this experience of laughter is something Sarah felt in the Genesis story that we read today. The scripture does not tell us anything about Sarah until she laughs. Her laughter is in response to God's promise that she would have a child. Sarah, a woman of advanced age, laughs at what the Lord says. Say what, Lord? Don't make me laugh. Sarah had a right to laugh. She had led a strange life since marrying Abram. With her first name Sarai, they had left their home country to seek a new promised land, where the two of them were going to create a new nation with descendants as numerous as the stars and the sands of the desert. But it wasn't long before she discovered that she was barren and wondered how Abram and her could ever be the father and mother of a great nation. Once they were in Pharaoh's Egypt, Abraham became fearful for his life because Pharaoh had caught sight of this beautiful young woman here, and lust stirred in his heart. He wanted her, and Abram, so scared of Pharaoh, was willing to give Sarai up, calling her his sister. Yeah, Abram was the first to use the great one-liner, "Take my wife, please." That did not sit well with the Lord. So God caused, long before the time of Moses, the Bible says, great plagues on Pharaoh's house. So Pharaoh called Abram before him and demanded the truth about Sarai. And as soon as he found she was Abram's wife, he sent them packing. What is it about us that we feel a little naughty when we laugh in church? Is it because we feel it is wrong or disrespectful to laugh in the presence of God? Could it be that we have somehow lost this sense of humor and laughter in our own faith, in our own church, in our own time of worship? There is a curious custom in the Greek Orthodox tradition where church members gather on Easter Monday to tell jokes. Many believe that the greatest joke took place on Easter Sunday, when Jesus won the victory over death against all worldly odds. In celebration of Jesus' own victory, this community of faith, this Orthodox community, shares stories of humor and joy and surprise. They are able to celebrate that Jesus got the last laugh. Our scripture for today is a powerful reminder that laughter is a part of our faith. And yet a lot of us most likely were taught that humor and laughter were incompatible with God. It was the great 20th century theologian Reinhold Niebuhr who reminded us that humor is in fact a prelude to faith and that laughter is the beginning of prayer. Thank God we Presbyterians are loosening up a little. You have to remember that we Presbyterians look down upon the festival of Christmas because its roots came from a pagan holiday. At one time, we were a very joyless denomination. Even in the 1950s and 60s, some people called our worship so cold, you could skate down the middle aisle. Even today, our Christian worship is more restrained and more polite than a number of so-called non-denominational churches. Even the Jewish experience of sharing emotions with God on a more common and familiar basis in their worship is different from ours. There is a story of a Jewish grandmother who took her beloved young grandson to the beach. She was Jewish in name only. He hadn't been to synagogue in a long, long time. She decked out the boy in his swimsuit, his sun hat, his shovel and pail. And the little boy played happily in the ocean surf while grandma watched him under the shade of her beach umbrella. When the grandmother dozed off, the boy was suddenly caught in an ocean undertow and was cast out into deep water. She was awakened by screams from the others that were on the beach, and she could not see her grandson anywhere. So she just fell down to the edge of the water on her knees, raised her hands to the heavens, and prayed, "God, please save my grandson. I promise I'll make it up to you. I'll go back to synagogue, I'll join the women's league, I'll volunteer at the hospital, whatever you want me to do." And then suddenly a huge wave tossed the little boy back on the beach at her feet. She looked down, his heart was beating, there was colors in his cheeks, his eyes were open, but she appeared very upset. She stood up, raised her arms to heaven, looked up and said, "You know, he had a hat too." As Christians, we proclaim that we can speak to and with God in Jesus Christ, and we do. Most of the time, we bring very weighty concerns to God: sicknesses, terrible diseases, relationship problems, job problems, money problems, poverty, homelessness, war. The list is endless. We often forget that our Lord was witty, full of life, celebrative, joyful, and certainly at times most witty. Scholars today are re-examining some of the stories that suggest a humorous Jesus, like when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. It has this delightful story when he is talking about judging others. Remember what he said, "Before you judge the speck in someone else's eye, first take out the log that is in your own eye." What would that look like? That's funny. Can you imagine someone walking around with this huge log sticking out of his face? How about the story of little Zacchaeus up in the 19th chapter of Luke, who climbs up a sycamore tree to see Jesus? Jesus sees him. He looks like a bird in a tree. Jesus says, "Come on down." And joyfully and most likely laughing at what he did, Jesus gives him a big bear hug and says, "Let's go get some pizza." Humor and laughter are the way we deal with the stuff that seemingly makes no sense. Do you suppose Peter was happy with Jesus after he healed his mother-in-law? Now, come on, that's funny. How about when Jesus is giving a Bible study at somebody's home, and all of a sudden four guys are on the roof tearing a hole in it of this guy's home and letting down on a cot their paralyzed friend? You don't think that's funny? I wonder how long it took our Lord to gather himself before he could get to the task to heal this poor man on the cot. What do you think Jesus said to the man who owned the house? I don't know. And then there's the woman who Jesus meets at the well and begins talking to her. She decides to get his goat, for she knows it was against Jewish law for a man to talk to a woman. They go round and round, each of them trying to get the better of the other. Oh, Jesus must have had so much fun with this wonderful woman who became one of the greatest evangelists we've ever known. And then there is the greatest event that makes no sense at all. God becoming one of us, born of a human, raised by humans. Why would God become one of us? How do you make sense of that? And yet the gospel record says that when he was born, the heavens broke out in joy. Joy, humor, laughter. They all go together. And then we have the biggest ha-ha ever. A dead man comes back to life. The joke is on death and evil. They are not in charge of what goes on in our lives. As God said to Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So when you think that the world is going straight to the dogs and can't get any worse, say what? Don't make me laugh. I know who's in charge. Amen? Pray with me. Lord God, one of our confessions of faith states that the chief end of men and women is to love you and to enjoy you forever. Help us, Lord, to realize and accept that you are in charge of everything that goes on in our lives and the entire universe, and that nothing, no, nothing, can ever separate us from your love. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We will have a moment for mission about the Cross Back to School giveaway. Pam Reese.
Good morning, everybody. You probably heard Roberta Victor speak a couple weeks ago, and I'm sure she talked about the Cross Back to School giveaway, but this is another reminder. And for those of you who don't know what Cross is, it's a homelessness prevention program that's been out of the Des Moines Presbytery Church, Presbyterian. As you probably, most of you know, the presbytery has been a little short of money, so Cross has suffered a lot of financial setbacks because of that. And so we really appreciate the donations that have come from all the churches, and Covenant has been especially generous. You're one of the biggest donators in the area, so we really thank you for that. As you probably have heard before, Cross provides direct assistance to people who are in emergency situations. Perhaps they need a rent deposit or bus tokens, or they need to reconnect to utilities. And some of you might not know that Roberta is also an art therapist, meaning she's good at counseling. She counseled people after 9/11, in fact. But anyway, so if there are special situations, she can help people. She had one immigrant family whose husband had left them, and they were in an apartment filled with rats and mice. And the landlord was not helpful about this at all, so she took the extra steps to help them find something else. But they can provide all kinds of assistance that some of the other agencies can't or won't. And so anyway, back to school giveaway. We give away between 1,200 and 1,500 backpacks every year to low-income families. And there are several opportunities to volunteer. You'll find a little information on the back of your bulletin. But Wednesday the 31st, I know a group is going from here, that's when a truck will be there with unpacked school supplies. And so people will be taking those out of boxes, and that will include backpacks and all kinds of to school supplies. And if you feel like you can't stand up and do something, that's fine. There's plenty of sit-down jobs to, you know, unpack boxes and that type of thing. And that evening, the Two Rivers Partnership will also provide free pizza. And that event starts at 5 o'clock. And if you can't make it Wednesday, then Thursday at 5, there's another opportunity. That's when, this is kind of fun, you actually load the backpacks. We have the, with school supplies. So we have the school supplies on tables labeled by grade level because we serve preschool through 12th grade. And so this is kind of a fun event to get all those packed up. And then the final giveaway, actual giveaway, is on Saturday. And that is from 9 to 12 this year. And if you'd like to volunteer for that, let me know, because they don't want volunteers to come and, you know, maybe there's nothing for them to do, whereas Wednesday and Thursday night, there's plenty to do. So, and anyway, this is going to be held at the Polk County River Place, located at 2309 Euclid Avenue. It's kind of like where the driver's license place is. So anyway, if you have any questions or would like to volunteer, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.